Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the SG Mart Q1 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Ambit Capital. As a reminder, all the participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kumar Saumya from Ambit Capital. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Kumar.
Thank you, Riya. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the first quarter FY25 post-result conference call of SG Mart. From the management, we have with us Mr. Shiv Bansal, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Suraj Kumar, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Anubhav Gupta, Group Chief Strategy Officer. I'll now hand over the call to the management for an opening remark, post which we'll open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Kumar. Thanks, Ambit Capital, for hosting SG Mart for our first-ever investor call. I welcome all the participants, investors, analysts who took out time and joined us to hear us. Thank you so much. So the format of this call will be, since this is our first investor call, I would like to explain the business model, the vision behind this venture from our group, and what are the plans which we are going to execute over the next two to three years, and what's the vision till 2030. And since it's the fourth quarter of our business operations, how the business started and where it is headed. And then I'll be happy to take questions regarding the business model, the vision, or the quarterly results which we declared last week. So coming to the venture, SG Mart, this is the latest baby from the group of APL Apollo, which we started in June last year with the vision of establishing India's largest trading company. As you all know, we have been running two manufacturing companies for many years now. One is APL Apollo Steel Tubes, and second is Apollo Pipes, which is into plumbing segment. As manufacturers, we always used to face a lot of gaps which India as a nation has by inheritance. Okay? And we used to think that how we can fill these gaps and can streamline the manufacturing in a better way. So we thought, let's start a trading company because what happens is that as manufacturers, we always struggle to push our material with the large distributors. But if you look at the countries outside India, like China, South Korea, Japan, which are actually the manufacturing hubs in the world, they have very large trading giants who are lifting material in bulk from the manufacturers and then distributing those products whether in the same countries or at the global platform. This is what we always miss as manufacturers, whether it's in steel tube or plumbing pipes. So we thought at a time when India is taking a leap forward to become world's manufacturing hub, China Plus One policy actually being played out in the minds of global consumers. So we thought it's the right time that we should support the manufacturing sector by becoming one of the largest traders in the country. And it will help the group as well as we solve the problem for the whole industry as well. Then the idea came that how do we start? How do we create India's largest trading company? Which product we should start with? Whether it should be metals, non-metals, construction materials, agri commodities, cement, etc., etc. So then we realized that our strength has been steel. We have spent four decades of manufacturing and buying and selling of steel upstream, downstream products. So let's start with the steel as the product, and then we establish fully ourselves into steel trading, and then we move to other products into whether it could be agri commodities or other construction material products. And within steel also, we realize that at a time when India is going to see massive increase in the upstream steel capacity, because last 5 years we have not seen any new capacity addition in steel. What has happened is the consolidation of the steel sector. But if you see from December 2023 till December 2025, India's steel capacity is going to go up by 50%. So it's a right time to start a venture which is into steel trading, to take material from steel companies and then distribute for them and create a business model out of it. So we carved out three business models to start with for SG Mart related to steel sector. Plus, we are doing small non-steel products as well, which I will talk later, but that is pretty small as of now. The major focus is on establishing or building the steel business. Now within this business model, like I said, there are three revenue streams which we created. One is B2B. B2B has two segments, which is number one, trading of long steel and flat steel products, buying directly from the steel producers and then distributing in the market. Second business model in B2B is creating a vast network of service centers where you process upstream steel and then sell in semi-finished shape to various user industries of steel. Then in B2C, we have identified some products like rebars and light structurals, which are sold as a branded segment, and we can leverage our group distribution network. So if you look at all the three revenue streams, we are trying to address the gaps which are existing in the industry. Plus, we have a right to win from day one, on which we are building the business model. So coming to revenue stream one in B2B, which is pure metal trading. Here we are looking at products within steel like HR coils, billets, and we have also started doing zinc. You'll be surprised to know that we have become India's largest zinc trader as we speak today. The industry gap, what we identified here was that these mill producers are dependent on very, very small size distributors and dealers who lift material directly from steel mills and then distribute it to their customers who are like user industries down the line. The largest distributor which we could identify in the industry was doing a volume of 25,000 ton a month. Now that's like ridiculously low. If you look at India sitting at 120 million ton of steel capacity today, and we are talking about 300 million ton capacity by 2030, so there is no way that this incremental capacity can be consumed or can be absorbed by these small SME traders. So we thought that there is a massive gap here. If we emerge as largest steel trader, the steel producers will be attracted to do business with us. And then we will distribute the products in the downstream sector. Okay, so today we are doing business with JSW Steel, NMDC Steel, Jindal Steel and Power, Steel Authority as well, and some imports which we are doing in SG Mart. So we have good raw material supply with us. We have money power, right? And we have good distribution below us, and we have already started doing 50,000 ton, 60,000 ton of monthly volume, which we started like six, 7 months ago, this revenue stream. And here, the margins are between 1.5%-2% based on like what kind of deals we source. And the working capital which is required here is around like 0-10 days because most of this steel we buy and we have back-to-back contracts with the customers. So the inventory is like 0-10 days. And we get on credit from steel suppliers, and we sell on cash as well to our clients because steel as a commodity is mainly cash and carry basis. So the net working capital here will be 0-10 days here. Average, you can take 5 days with a margin of 1.5%-2%. So doing like 15-20 times churn, 25 times churn in a year can give us 30-40% ROCE on this business. Second business in B2B is service centers. Now here, if you look at the industry, like auto sector, consumer durables, construction industry, they don't buy raw steel like in coil form or long steel form. They need processed steel, right, which acts as input to their factories, and then they make washing machines, refrigerators. It is used in automobile bodies, etc., in construction, in bridges, etc. So there are small service centers, very unorganized service centers which are established in the country, and they are run like mom-and-pop stores. Okay? There is no pan-India national-level organized chain of service centers which can ensure the quality, the steel availability to the user industries. So this is the gap we thought we should work upon. And anyways, the steel, the input for these service centers will be the raw steel, right, which I'm buying anyways, right, for my trading business. So I can divert some of the steel to my service centers, and I can process it and earn extra profit on that. So here, the business model is that in metro cities, we have, as we are talking, two of our service centers are operational, doing business of 10,000-12,000 ton a month. Two new service centers in India will be starting in next 2-3 months. The construction work is underway, and we will be starting those service centers in next 2-3 months. And fifth service center, we are starting in Dubai because there are also a lot of user industries need processed steel. So with a network of 5 service centers, we should be doing like 30,000-40,000 ton of processed steel every month, which gives us 4%-5% EBITDA margin. And here, of course, the inventory days will be slightly higher from 15-25 days, but then you cover it up by making extra margin. And then we have identified 15 new locations which we will start operations over the next 12 months. So the vision here is that by 2030, we should be having 101 service centers, maybe one or two outside India and 99 in India. Because in smaller towns, in cities like Raipur, in Patna, in Ludhiana, Jalandhar, Jammu, Kochi, right, these industrial clusters, they don't have service stations, so they buy material from metro cities, and they pay freight of 1,000-1,200 rupees a ton. So we thought we should penetrate deeper into the market and get service stations established. So idea is that every year, we keep on adding 10-20 service centers, right, and by 2030, we should have a network of 101 service centers. Here, the CapEx per service center should be like 20-25 crores, and the working capital requirement would be another 10-15 crores at gross level. At net level, it would be like 5 crores. So doing 5,000-ton average volume should give us ROCE of, again, 30-35% with the CapEx and working capital combined under capital employment. So here the right to win for us is that we have a full supply of raw steel with us, right? Then we have funds to establish these service centers, and then market is there to service. Then coming to B2C, we want to leverage the distribution network in the downstream sector, which the group created for these steel tubes over the last 30 years. Now, if you look at our dealers, group dealers who are doing business in steel pipes is 20% of their total business. Rest 80%, they do rebars, angle channels, welding wash, mesh net buyers. There's a massive consumption, but almost like 3 to 4 lakh crore rupees, 3 to 4 trillion INR, for non-tube products, which these distributors buy from small manufacturers. Tubes as an industry became formalized. Apollo played a pioneer role in formalizing the steel tube industry. But for other products like angle channels, rebars, welding rod, this industry is still highly, highly unorganized. There are multiple n number of small manufacturers who manufacture these products in an inefficient way, and then they sell to the distributors in downstream sector. So we thought that we have a visibility of demand worth 3-4 lakh crore rupees in multiple products. We aggregate the demand from our distributors, and against that, we do tie-ups with the efficient, good quality manufacturers, and we bridge the gap between the SME manufacturer and an SME trader. This we started right from July, August when we started the company, and we have already started doing like 30,000 tons a month of monthly volume, mainly steel construction products. We don't do any steel pipe here, right? Because steel pipe is a set distribution business for APL Apollo tubes. Anything outside steel tube, which the distributor is dealing with, we are catering to this segment. And we have an APL Apollo brand is with the family. So family has given rights to SG Mart to use APL Apollo brand for non-steel pipe products at free of charge. So there is a good ramp up which is happening in this distribution business. So here also the idea is that we are connecting manufacturer with the trader. So inventory days will not be more than like 15-20 days on a blended basis for this business. And margins here, because you have private label, so they will vary from 2% to 4%, blended 2.5-3%. And the network of service centers which we are creating, so that can act as a warehouse for either metal trading which we require, or for this B2C distribution products. So we are not going to spend extra money on creating more warehouses. My service centers will act like warehouses plus the processing unit. So my capex is limited, which is like, say, 25 crore per service center. If I do 100 in next 7 years, so 2500 crore will be the total gross block which we will be spending. And idea is to do 10 million ton of combined volume in these three segments, which could amount more than 50,000 crore of top line. And with 20 days of average working capital, we should be requiring around 2,500 crore of working capital. So total capital employment which this company may require will be like 5,000 crore to do 50,000 crore of 50,000 crore of top line, and with 2.5% of EBITDA margin, which is like broad based 1,500 crore EBITDA we should be getting on 50,000 crore top line, and with on a total capital employment of 5,000 crores. So 1,300 crore net worth we already have cash on the books, right? And then over 7-8 years, the business has been profitable for us from day one. So there will be accumulated profits, and there could be like some working capital limits we may require. So company is well funded to reach the scale of 50,000 crore of revenue with 1,500 crore EBITDA on a capital employment base of 4,500 to 5,000 crores. We don't need any more money, equity, to do this. And once we establish this business, firstly, we create a proof of concept for the steel sector, then we are confident that the other industries will also come to support, to take support from SG Mart. By that time, we will be able to move to other sectors. But as we speak, we have already started seeding some of the products, non-steel products, like we have done tie-ups with industry leaders in tile segment, in electrical fitting segment, in bath fitting segment, in branded rebars to support the construction sector, where we are reaching directly to the contractors and real estate developers, and we are doing B2B business. But that segment is small, but it is ramping up pretty quick. So just to mention that, I mean, the basic concept of this company is trading, right? Connecting the manufacturer with the trader, with the distributor. So we act like an intermediary between the manufacturer and a wholesaler. What I have to offer is the power to buy in bulk, right, multiple products, offer the same product at much lower cost than what that trader would be getting from the manufacturer. And we are only looking for 2.5-3% EBITDA spread, which is not very high for my services. And this also I will be generating by two sources. One is improving the efficiency in the manufacturing process, right? Because if I'm doing a business with a manufacturer who is doing, say, 50% utilization rate as of now, and I take his utilization rate to 70-80%, so his cost of production will come down, and he will pass on that benefit to me, which I will keep 50% myself and 50% I'll share with my customer. Plus, I will use APL Apollo brand, right, to get the premium from the market, from the customer. That will add to my EBITDA. So we are not being very miser, right, to earn extra bucks, and which makes my business unsustainable. Earning 2.5-3% margin makes my business pretty sustainable. What we have to look is keeping our working capital requirement low, churns 15-20 times in a year, zero creditors, zero debtor, right, and make 30-35% ROC, maybe higher. If we are able to do that, then my business model will be very, very sustainable, and then we will replicate this in the other industries once we are able to create this full model. So this is about the business model. I will have questions when I finish this. Lastly, we can discuss that how the business ramped up, right? Since we started this in Q1 of FY24, Q4 we did around 1,300 crore of revenue. Q1 was slightly lower because of elections and some raw material shortage because of maintenance plant shutdowns what steel producers were having. But Q2 you will see big jump in the revenue. EBITDA has been around 2.5% even at a very low scale today. In Q1 there was like one time non-recurring brand expense of 5-6 crore rupees. That's why my EBITDA was lower than Q4. But if I exclude that, I was at par with my Q4 EBITDA. And since the funds are the money which we raised last year to start the business, out of that the utilization is very low today because the business we are doing like 7 to 8,000 crore of revenue. We have enough money to take this revenue to 20,000 crores in next 2 to 3 years. So a lot of funds are with are lying in the fixed deposit, which gives us the interest rate, interest income. So that's why my PAT may appear higher than the EBITDA. But as we start investing into service centers, as my volume ramps up from 7,000-8,000 crores to 12,000-13,000 crores next year, I mean this year and next year, and then eventually 17,000-18,000 crores in FY27, and then 50,000 crores by FY30. So this money will be utilized plus all the profits which I will be generating. So yes, this is what we had to explain about SG Mart, and we'll be happy to take questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Vivek Patel from Ficom Family Office. Please go ahead.
Very good afternoon, everyone. Thanks a lot for this opportunity. Just had small 3 questions on that. First is, would there be any broad guidance that you'll be sharing at this time for FY25? And what would be your key assumptions to these guidance and the key risks of not meeting them?
Right. So if you look at FY25, we are looking at around 7 to 8,000 crore of revenue, right, which will translate into like 1.2, 1.3 million ton of sea business put together. And margin should be around 2.5%. This 7-8,000 crore will ramp up to 13-14,000 crores next year and eventually 18-20,000 crore in FY27. This is what we have also put it in our investor presentation as well. Ramp up.
Oh, great. And next question.
Just to address the second part of the question, the risk to this guidance, I think. I mean, now that we are into 5th month of the year already, we don't see any challenge as of now to achieve this number.
Oh, great. That helps a lot. Next question is, as of now, what percentage of your revenues are coming from these different business models that you explained around B2B and B2C service centers and so on?
Right. So if I have to break up my 1,200 crore revenue, which I did in Q1, 1,150 crores, I would say that out of this, 500-600 crore will be metal trading, right? 400 crore will be service center business, and rest will be distribution. 200 crore worth will be the distribution business.
Great. Thanks a lot. That helps. The lastly, just a small bookkeeping question. You had mentioned in your presentation, and you just mentioned as well that you have spent a small sum of about 6 crores in marketing. If you were to ignore this expense, the other expense has still risen by about 45% on a QOQ basis. What would be the reason for that?
So we are adding a lot of, those other expenses will pertain to the new service centers which we are putting up, right? So two started in Q1, right? So their fixed costs come into play. Right, and then we are also spending like money to open 3 new centers, right? So we added a lot of new team member, like a lot of OPEX, which is there. So this will be now recurring.
Great. Thanks a lot. That helps. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question will be from the line of Pawan Kumar from Ratnatraya Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, can you just give us a breakup of what would be the HR coil kind of sales in the breakup right now?
So like I said, no, that metal trading was around 500 crores. Out of that, majority will be HR coil. Zinc, we started to ramp up in last 2 months.
Okay. And tubes would be how much, sir? Tubes and rebars, if you can just give us a broad breakup.
Yeah, so that is around 200 crores.
Which is tubes, right? Okay.
No, not tubes, B2C, which is rebars, angles, channels, light structurals, and welding rod, etc.
Okay.
We don't send tubes here. There is no tubes.
Okay. And of these three particular businesses, one is metal trading, one is service centers and distribution, which do you expect to grow the fastest going forward?
Which we fastest? Okay.
So I guess
distribution business will ramp up pretty quickly, right? Because service centers, once we have these 5 service centers ready, today we are with 2, 3 will be ready in next 2-3 months. And then next leg of service centers will start contributing, say, from like Q2 of FY26. So I guess all three business, and even metal trading, right? So every day we are getting calls from steel producers, from foreign steel suppliers to they want to sell their products to us. So I guess all three businesses will ramp up at same pace because what we see is a huge opportunity in all the three segments, and every segment has its own gaps. What we are filling right now, and in every segment we have our own right to win, right? If you look at the split also of 18,000 crore revenue guidance which we have given for FY27, also like we have divided it in like you know equally, like 60 billion IMC.
Okay.
All three businesses are exciting, and they will ramp up on their own.
And can you give us a broad numbers on what was the volume in recent Q4, and also the volumes for this particular quarter in terms of steel? Can you hear me?
So last quarter must be like around 200 to 225,000 tons. Okay. And this quarter should be over of 300,000 tons.
Oh, okay. And can you just also let us know what were the total volumes for FY24 for the full year?
FY24 was around 500,000 tons.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'll get back.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Vikas Mistry from Moon Sun Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi, Anubhav. Thanks for the opportunity. I have one question that we are procuring almost 2-3 million tons of steel from parent company and another maybe 4-5 from Aeron. What will be the price differential you are getting from suppliers, steel mill suppliers, as against the other competition like O Business? Because O Business also does almost $1 billion of revenue from steel itself.
So this is a bit of sensitive information, right? We would like to stay quiet on this. But you can imagine that this is not only in steel, but any product, any commodity, you buy more, you get more discounts, right? So same works here as well.
But from our understanding, it is that after you achieve one significant level of scale, then the discounts start diminishing and they become tapering out.
No, if I were the manufacturer, I am anyways for my other group companies, we will not do that.
Okay. My second question is on tech side. So other competitions like our business, they are doing so many segments, construction, polymers and all that. It's very heartening to listen your vision also. You also want to go into construction and the polymer and other chemicals and agri commodities. So in order to do that, from today to 2030, the B2B supply chain will be highly digitalized and it is rising at a much faster rate. Are you doing a mistake of not slowly venturing into other sectors also? Because till then, it will large portion of it will be already get digitalized. So what's your take on that?
See, as a group, we always we always like to work on our core strength first, right? Our strength or right to win was in steel sector. That's why we started with steel sector. Unless we see this company making 500 crore EBITDA, right, we don't want to invest into sectors where we don't have much expertise. Okay. So after FY27, we will speed up the process of entering into other industries, other sectors. But till FY27, we have laser sharp focus that that all the energy, all the resources must be put to build the steel franchisee first, and then we will move to other sectors.
That's heartening to see, and continue to maintain the focus. And we want to see SG Mart to be the best tech player from B2B supply chain perspective. Thanks. That's all from my side.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Aastha from PKD Advisor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I would like to understand who would be our competitors in the unlisted as well as the listed market.
If you see, there is no national level player who does service, who has a network of service centers. They're all, like I said, mom and pop stores. Steel traders, the distributors who are attached with steel producers, there are also SME, multiple N number of unorganized players. And any unique company which has access to downstream traders in the steel sector who are doing these steel pipes, rebars, angles and channels, that also no one has except our group, right? So in that way, I mean, difficult to name anyone who could be our nearest competitor. I would say our nearest competitor is unorganized sector.
Okay, got it. So apart from that, we are supplying to distributors, right? So by any chance, can we get a name of a distributor or the client base, basically? One of the biggest clients?
Yeah, so you can, in our presentation, we have given the contact details of our investor relation team, Mr. Naman Rastogi. You can get in touch with him and he can connect you with the distributors who are doing these products.
Okay. So my last question would be, so we have bought SG Mart rather than starting a new one. So what was our thought process? Why did we buy a company rather than starting a new one?
So the idea was that we wanted to emerge or as India's largest steel or any trader, right? We wanted to emerge as India's largest trader. So how do you become largest trader? You don't have business. But how you can make a statement in the industry is by showing your money power, right? So we wanted to raise those 1200 crore rupees which we raised, right? Now, the promoter family had 400 crores to invest, right? 350 to be precise, which they infuse the capital, around 350 crores. Now, rest 850 crore, 900 crore we wanted to raise. Now, on an idea, if I were to pitch this to a private equity fund or a venture capital fund, they would take at least 1 year, 2 years to understand the business model, and no one will give me money just based on the idea. Okay, so we wanted to raise funds, and we had our own set of investors who were ready to support this business model, right? Who were ready to invest in this business model, and those funds, those investors did not have mandate to invest in a private limited company. So that's why we acquired a listed company which was not having any business. Right, we started the business from scratch in that company. So we did not acquire any business. What we acquired was just the structure, right? And then we started the business from scratch in that company, and that made that structure attractive for our investors to put in money. So when we raised 350 crore from the promoters and 900 crore from the investors. So with 1300 crores money in the kitty, then I went to the steel traders and steel manufacturers and I said, okay, now I'm ready. Right? With 300-400 crore rupees, I would be looked as like any other steel trader. I hope I clarified your question.
Right, sir. Okay. Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question will be from the line of Alisha Mahavala from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. I hope I'm audible. Can you come a little bit more closer to the mic? So I hope this is better now.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah, great. Thanks. So the first question was somebody was trying to understand earlier, while we understand the benefits for the manufacturers because this is an incremental avenue for them to sell, what would be the benefit for customers? And are we directly supplying to OEMs because you were mentioning service center? You act as a hook between the auto OEMs, the consumer durables where they need semi-finished goods, or will there still be a distributor layer sitting in the middle? So if you can help us understand that, is this just creating another layer in the middle, and who would be our customers?
So each segment has its own set of customers, right? Now talking about the layer, right? So let's talk about the metal trading first, right? So the model here is that we buy raw material from steel producers or say zinc producers, right? In bulk, right? Bulk as big as like 10 times more than what they are selling to a single distributor today, right? And at a time when they are in pressure to push their own sales because new capacities are coming every quarter, right? So they like to work with large distributors, right? So SG Mart comes in and acts like a large distributor. Okay, so they sell the material to us, and then that metal we either sell to the retailers, right, or their own small dealers, right? Because like I said, the largest one was doing 20-25,000 ton monthly volume, but the smallest one was doing 5,000 ton as well. So then the steel mill will say, okay, I will stop servicing 5,000 ton dealer on my own. Why don't that small dealer buy from SG Mart? Okay, so that's the segment in metal trading. Then second is service centers, right? Service centers, here the customers are OEM industries like consumer durable companies, automobile companies, construction companies who are buying the processed steel. Earlier, what happens is that a small mom and pop processing center, right, they don't have enough steel supply from behind, right? So So the just-in-time deliveries they are never able to offer to their customers, right? Then the quality of machinery what they have installed, like cutters and slitters, etc., that also is like pretty outdated. So here we are trying to address the problem that I am a service center with high-tech machinery. My quality of my process key will be better. Then I'm creating a brand. Like if I open 10 service centers, right? Say, for example, Havells. Havells has a factory in Narayana. In Nimrana, Rajasthan. They have a factory in Baddi, Uttar Pradesh, Uttarakhand. They have a factory near Bangalore, right? So LD 101, like which is the concept for these service centers, we have service centers in all these locations. So at head office level, I do tie up with Havells that for all your factories, we will be supplying from my service center near to your factory. Right. So right now, they don't have any national level player. So each of the factory is buying steel from the local mom and pop processor. Right. So that's the value proposition I'm going to offer to large manufacturers. Plus, what happens is that, like I said, a factory in Ljubljana, Ljubljana is a big manufacturing hub, right? They need steel, processed steel, right? Now, they have to buy from Ghaziabad, right, for which you have to pay 1,000 rupees per ton freight. Okay, now the steel which comes, HR coil which comes, whether it comes in Ghaziabad side railway siding or Ljubljana railway siding, the freight is same, the factory cost is same. But from Ghaziabad to Ludhiana, the process steel will carry freight of 1,000 rupees a ton. Mm. Right? So if I open a center in Ludhiana, my raw material cost will be same, right? And I will be able, and my customer will be able to save 1,000 rupees per ton freight from Ghaziabad. Right? So that's how we will acquire customers in service centers. And thirdly, on distribution side, the B2C business, there the customers are same, right? What I will do is I will replace a small inefficient manufacturer, right, with a more capable manufacturer who has tie up with me, and I will push his product under my brand to my dealer. Mm.
Okay, understood. This is quite helpful, thanks. The next question is, what is the kind of inventory risk that we carry? Because these are commodities at the end of the day, and I do, and you, like, while you have highlighted the working capital cycle, is it an inventory gain, inventory loss kind of situation that we'll have to keep making adjustments for every quarter?
Because our margins are low, around 2.5%, right? So we have to ensure that 2.5% is protected. Okay, there is no threat, there is no risk to that margin, to that thin margin. That 2.5% EBITDA flows as my PBT also. Okay, and for that, number one is below EBITDA is depreciation, right? So because my asset turns are so high on my service centers, which will be almost like 15-20 times, right? So the depreciation cost to the overall size of the company will always be very low.
Mm.
Then the interest cost, right? Now everything is equity funded, right? When I will be doing 50,000 crore of revenue, then I may need 1,000 crore, 1,500 crore of short-term bank limits, right? Till then, everything will be equity funded. So my interest cost also is going to be like, you know, almost zero. So whatever my EBITDA is, 2.5%, that is also my PBT. Then the risk comes on the debtor write-off or inventory write-off, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to do cash and carry, right? We are talking with banks for providing channel financing services, right, to AG Mart's customers. We have all the national banks with us. We have our own group NBFC with us, right? So I will not be having debtors more than 3-4 days, right? So my risk on debtor write-off is also taken care of by having channel financing services for my clients.
Mm-hmm.
Then the inventory risk, right? Inventory write-off. Now, steel is a volatile commodity, right? It carries a lot of risk, and with such a low margin, our risk management has to be very strong, which it is. So again, all the three verticals, Alisha, the first vertical, which is metal trading, right? Here we are doing back-to-back sale, like purchase and sale. So the risk what we carry is like from 0 to 10 days, right, which is very limited, right? Steel prices in India normally are reviewed like once in a month. On first day of every month, all these steel producers come out with the new revised pricing policy. So if you are doing this within 10 days, there is no risk as such if you carry to your balance sheet. Second is service centers. Now, service centers, yes, here the inventory days will be 20 to 25 days. But then here the margin is high, right? So even if there are some write-offs, you have to take some write-off, but your high margin does take care of that. Then third is distribution business. Distribution business, B2C, is mainly secondary steel, right? Whether it is rebar, secondary angles and channels, welding rod, which is not a very volatile product anyways. They are sold more as products. And here also, like, the inventory days in the system will not be more than 20, right? So the fluctuation is manageable easily, right? Just to give one example, you can look at the financials of Shankara. Like, Shankara is a retailer, okay? Yeah. They carry more inventory than what we will be having on our books at any given day. Now, if you look at their quarterly EBITDA margin, right, you can look 20 quarters, like 5 years you see, their EBITDA margin has always remained stable between 2.5% to 3.5%, right? The swing is not like they will erode the profitability and they will close the balance sheet with zero profit or at a loss, right? So a trader, whether a wholesaler or a retailer, right? If we are churning our inventory quick, so inventory risk can be easily managed, right? So whatever you buy, you should be able to sell under 30 days. Shankara sells in 50 days. Their inventory churn is like 40-50 days. But still, we don't see any write-off in their balance sheet, even on quarterly basis. So we don't see much of a risk of any inventory write-off.
Understood. This is quite helpful. On the service center, are we confident that we'll be able to have a cash and carry model with the OEM?
Sorry, say it again.
I'm saying on the service center side, will we manage to have a cash and carry with the OEM?
Yes.
Okay. And last question, like you were mentioning, Shankara, it is the parent of the group, has some investment in Shankara. What is the kind of overlap with Shankara? While you've explained the three businesses, is there an overlap? Can they eventually fit into the SG Mart ecosystem at some point?
So Shankara can be our customer, right? Because Shankara is a retailer, right? We are like wholesalers. We are in the upstream, Shankara is in the downstream, right? So there is no business overlap, except the fact that Shankara can be my customer. Shankara can buy raw metal from me if they want to trade that. Shankara can buy processed steel from me if they have the market for themselves. Shankara can buy rebars, etc. from me in my private label, which we are doing business anyways. So Shankara can be our customer. There is no business overlap.
And are they already part of our ecosystem? Are they already customers?
We are doing some business with them, but it's small as of now. It should grow.
Okay, great. Thank you and all the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question will be from the line of Rakshit from PKD Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Oh, great. So thank you for the opportunity. I want to understand, according to your assessment, why hasn't a large-scale distributor been created in this industry up till now? What has something structurally changed for you to now be able to scale up this business and be able to be present?
Because the distribution in India is always driven by SME traders, right? And it's not only in steel, but in any sector, right? Today, APL Apollo deals with 800 distributors. My sister company, Apollo Pipes Limited, which is into plumbing pipe, they deal with 600 small distributors, right? So master franchisee concept in India has never been established, because manufacturing has always been like growing at a very slow pace. Now that if you see India to become a $10 trillion economy, which is led by manufacturing, or India replaces China as a global manufacturing hub, right, then you need the trading infrastructure also to support that, right? You need large traders who can lift volume, who can stock raw material, right? This concept was never there. Now India says that we want to have 300 million ton of steel capacity by 2030. The question is, JSW, Tata of the world, they all have all money in the world to put in the factories. But then question is, who has the power to lift that material? Can they depend on a distributor who is doing like 20,000-30,000 ton monthly volume? Answer is no.
Got it. Clear. The other thing that you mentioned, and again I'm talking about the metal trading business, is that the steel manufacturers may choose to, basically pass on the smaller distributors over to SG Mart or some other big distributor in general, because they don't want to deal with so many players. I was trying to understand what exactly is the problem that we're solving there. Why would they pass that on? Are we solving for their logistical issues, their order management issues, collection issues? Why would they pass on the smaller distributor to you?
Actually, there is some background noise. I couldn't understand your question.
Sorry, is it clearer now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, so I was saying, we choose to pass on the smaller distributors onto the larger distributors as well, right? I was wondering why that would happen. Are we solving for
I can't still hear you. I'm sorry.
Mr. Rakshit, your voice is breaking and it's echoing.
Hello?
Yes. Can you speak something now?
Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Hello. Yeah, you can go ahead.
Hello again?
Yeah.
Okay. So, again, my question was... Hello?
Go ahead.
Yeah, my question was, what problem are we solving by taking away the small from the steel manufacturers? Why would they want to hand over that relationship?
Okay, so here the point is that a small trader, right, has limited funds to buy material. He has limited warehousing capacity to stock raw material. Right today, when India's steel capacity is going to increase by 100% in next 6 years, right, they will need a trader who can lift that raw material. Right, steel, when you produce in a blast furnace, it is like 24/7 into 365 days. It flows like how water flows in a river. Right, you can't stop it. Right. And you need continuous buying from your customers, okay? APL Apollo being India's largest consumer, we get so many deals from steel producers like once in a month or once in a quarter, sometimes like even multiple times, that whenever they have excess supply, they want to come to APL Apollo and sell that raw material to Apollo at a discount. But APL Apollo has a limitation of maintaining limited inventory days, right? So we don't take that risk. So we turn them back. So that's where we also saw this opportunity that if there is a SG Mart, right, which can take as much raw material as any steel company wants to put in, right, at a good cost, at a good price. And then I keep that profit with me and then flow that material slowly, gradually in the market, right? I can stock for 10 days, 20 days, 30 days, right? A small distributor, he gets any deal, right? But he doesn't have ability to stock it more than 5 days. So he passes on that deal in the market and that disturbs the market. But SG Mart has the ability to hold the material for 20 days, 25 days, right? I will keep that discount in my kitty as my profit. And then I will slowly, gradually pass on the material, sell the material in the market. And this is a concept which is not unique in the world, right? You look at Japan, South Korea, China. There are players like Marubeni, Mitsubishi Trading Corporation, Sumitomo Trading Corporation, Itochu, okay, Hanwa, JFE Shoji. All these players are there who buy raw material from steel producers or other metal producers in bulk, and then they distribute further.
Got it. All right, thank you. And my last question was, you're obviously leveraging the group company's expertise and strength in the industry. So how are we ensuring that the relationship between the two entities is at arm's length?
No, because SG Mart is not selling raw material to APL Apollo Tubes. And APL Apollo Tubes is not selling tubes to SG Mart, so there is no transaction between the two companies.
No, but the brand has been shared. I think you mentioned that they'll be able to sell under
the belongs to the family. So
okay,
brand belongs to the family. Family has given rights to APL Apollo steel tubes to use APL Apollo brand in the steel tube segment free of cost. Family has given rights to PVC pipe company Apollo Pipes Limited to use APL Apollo brand in the plumbing segment, free of cost. And family has given rights to SG Mart to use APL Apollo brand for non-steel pipe products in the steel sector at free of cost.
Got it. Clear. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. The next question will be from the line of Keshav Sanjay Agarwal from ValueQuest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just would like to understand what are the key friction points or the challenges that we will encounter to scale up so fast, given our guidance for FY27 being of 18,000 odd crores. So what kind of challenges can we face?
What we see is the opportunity which is there, right, in all the three segments, right? Then what we need is the raw material as backup source, right? So that also we are tying up with all the stakeholders. Third thing is creating the infrastructure of service centers cum warehouses, right? Fourth requirement is the scalability of B2C products, like private label products, because that needs market acceptance. So I guess we are working on all these four requirements aggressively, right? We are ensuring that we don't get stuck in any one of these requirements. We are hiring right people at right place, right? We are already a team of 100 people, which will increase to, say, not more than 200, 250 when we touch 18,000 crore top line by FY27. So whole idea is, the whole objective is to ensure that we don't falter on the execution of this business plan, right? I think one important element is also the quality of the B2C products, because for that we are dependent on small manufacturers. Right, so yes, I mean, idea is to put all these ingredients to make a good recipe product, right? And putting allocating the resources equally, okay, to ensure that all five elements are taken care of.
We did mention about service center being one of the building blocks. Can you just give us some sense around the unit economics of these service centers with respect to amount of investments needed and the output that can be generated?
Sure. So say I create a service center with an investment of 25 crore of gross block. Okay, 25 crore of gross block. We buy 1 to 2 acre land parcel. Then there is a shed over it, right? The building, and then the machinery for cutting and fitting, etc. So that investment will require 25 crores. On that, I will generate revenue of around 350 crores per annum. 350 crores. It will give me EBITDA of 4%, which is equivalent to say 12 to 15 crore of annual EBITDA. And the working capital which I will require in that service center will be around 15 crores. So my total investment is 40 crores capital employment, right? 25 crore gross block, 15 crore working capital, and that will give me EBITDA of 12 to 15 crores.
Okay, got it. Yeah, that's it from me.
Thank you very much. The last question for today is from the line of Shubh Jain from Emerge Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, please go ahead.
So you mentioned that JSW is one of our suppliers, but JSW also runs their own platform, JSW One. So aren't we competing with them, or I just want to understand the difference between our model and that of JSW One's?
So JSW One, right? JSW One is not operating service centers. They are doing tie-ups with the service centers. They are aggregating demand below the service centers, and then they are approaching the service centers, right? So JSW One will become our customer. Then
okay.
JSW One is not buying steel from Tata or ArcelorMittal or Steel Authority to sell to its customers, right? That SGMart is doing. So JSW One concept is more on the retail, like, you know, at the lower end of the value chain. We are like on the upper end of the value chain, where we are like master franchisee, large trader, large wholesaler. Okay, and all these other companies which are trying to create business model, they are towards the retail side and demand in the value chain.
Understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. That was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing remarks.
Thanks, everyone, for dropping by and listening to this call. We look forward for a healthy interaction with you on SGMart. For any question and query follow-up, please feel free to contact our investor relations team, and look forward to see you soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of Ambit Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.